Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. My name is Arik Skuza, and this is Artificial Intelligence and Product Strategy Podcast. I have been working as a consultant for the last 9 years, specifically on AI strategy and AI business process automation. I professionally solve business problems using artificial intelligence and automation, as well leverage data monetization and business transformation strategies. I am fascinated, and this podcast is also about what fascinates me the most, which is data monetization, artificial intelligence. The reason for that is I want companies to become modern and efficient and people to be able to realize their full potential by using artificial intelligence as a collaborator. I also believe that future-oriented company managers are people who use data monetization and artificial intelligence to allow teams to enjoy their work, utilize individual potential, and give people more free time for creative and developmental tasks. Today, I have a wonderful, amazing guest with me, a person that is in London, United Kingdom, with the marvelous experience. So you guys, if you want to learn from a person that works as a senior machine learning engineer and machine learning product manager in one of the prominent companies, he will introduce the company and himself in a minute. I would love you guys to stay with us today and also make sure that you give a time for yourself to make notes and then maybe come back to us with additional questions. So I want to introduce Peter. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much. My name is Peter. As I said, I work for Deliveroo as a senior machine learning engineer and acting as a ML product manager for Deliveroo. And Deliveroo, for those who don't know, is just online food delivery company. We operate in several countries, including the United Kingdom, France, Belgium, and many others. And I think just to describe it in a few words, it's just it is a food delivery and basically delivery company. And the company's mission is to provide fast, transparent, and reliable delivery for a variety of restaurants, supporting growth of local independent restaurants and the expansion of local communities. So this is, we deliver food through the app. And I've worked here for quite a while now, but my previous experience also sort of connected with e-commerce and e-grocery. My previous company was a Sber Market. It's basically we're delivering food from supermarkets to customers via app, making sure that every customer get what he wants. And my previous also experience, I was also working for a company called Yandex when I was building the recommender system for live streaming music and movie recommendation system and many other. So yeah, that's
perfect. Peter, thank you so much. Your experience is super fascinating. I want to tell you guys that when we met for the first time, I haven't realized that this guy has more than 4 years of experience with machine learning. So he remembers times before generative AI, and we'll be talking about that in a minute. And Peter, thank you so much for joining us. And this is going to be a fascinating conversation. I'm expecting to learn a lot from you too. One thing that just actually I would love to pick up here is, can you share the journey into the field of machine learning and artificial intelligence? What sparked your interest in this area? The reason I'm asking this question is that it's not a new thing. It's not you just started that 1 year ago, or because OpenAI made huge fuss about that and everybody is using Gen AI. You were there more and more years before that fact. So can you share your journey and what decided or what happened in your life, professional life, that you just, you know, entered the machine learning and artificial intelligence world?
Oh, well, that's a very interesting question, to be honest. Yeah, I started quite a while ago. I think more than 7 years, I just got into the field of actually computer science. I started to in university. Okay. Learning some, you know, programming, how the computers work. I was just fascinated by the ability to just actually, you know, do more than you can do in your like real life, right? And computers can enhance in many ways. And actually, I describe my experiences like I've been on almost every kind of software engineer and technology role that there is exists. So I started as mobile engineer back in 2000, I guess, 15. Yeah, and I spent some time working and developing for many like mobile platforms, like Apple, of course, for iPhones, for Android, whatever. And yeah, also was working a bit from front-end engineer, left to creating interface. I'm like, yeah, these apps are so cool. They're like, you can do anything on your phone. It was just starting, right? iPhone 4, iPhone 5. It was just, you know, growing this industry. But in the end, after a few years in that, I was thinking, yeah, this is cool, but what else can you do, right? What else can you explore more in the industry? And also, I was back in uni back then, and my scientific advisor was actually started to exploring, like, it was called like big data, like there was like all these buzzwords, and he really got into it from the mathematics perspective, and I was just so excited about his work, and I kind of picked it up, and we also he was starting the master's degree for big data analytics and streaming machine learning. And I was like, what is these words? What is this? Like, I just wanted to learn. I was wanted to explore. And I helped him in terms of like a little bit of organization, a little bit of creating the courses, kind of, you know, how it works in science. Yeah. So you're just helping your scientific advisor. And then I realized that it's actually something tremendous. This is something new that I have never seen before, and it unlocks you so many possibilities, right? So you realize now, now we are actually kind of, data is a new oil. So as more data as you can have, as more insights you can get from that data, using some powerful machine learning techniques, some algorithms, it's kind of just blowed my mind. So that's why I kind of stopped working as a software engineer and kind of tried to learn a little bit of that, and kind of then I couldn't stop, I guess.
Interesting, very interesting. And the thing that actually it's fascinating is that before you enter the ML world, you actually work with different technologies and different platforms you mentioned. So is that something you would recommend to people, like getting to know technology world at the maybe a little bit wider landscape, and then entering machine learning, or you maybe look at that from a different point of view?
I will share my personal opinion on that. There are like many different opinions, right? So you need to really learn everything from the background, and then you kind of build on top, right? But I follow like more top-down approach. So if you're really like fascinated about this field, if you're really excited about LLMs, whatever is happening right now in field of AI and like anything, you just maybe like these buzzwords, like you're right, just wanted to explore. And I would definitely say there is nothing should stop you to try dig into it, try to find a field which you're fascinated about. Maybe you love like, how do we can extract data from the text, right? So all LLMs, or like, maybe you like, or maybe
go ahead.
I don't know. Sound analysis, how you actually can understand what other people saying, right? Like when you have just a recording, maybe you can transcribe stuff into the text, and then kind of maybe you like to work with images, understand what's going on video. Maybe like it's like the world of opportunities in the ML. It's actually not limited, I guess. So you can really just start building that. And then if you realize you need to dig down into something, maybe mathematics or maybe like technology, maybe someone recommend you to, in order to understand some concept in ML, because sometimes they are not that easy to get into, you can just like learn for your task. That's what I would recommend to someone. Don't be scared. There are so many resources available now when it was like even 3 years ago, 10 years ago. You can actually start from any point in time, I guess, in your career development, and you can just dig into it, find the right course, find the right book, even like YouTube channel, and kind of realize, is it something you would love to spend a few years working on? If yes, mm-hmm. just, yeah, nothing is stopping you, I guess.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot. Also, I know that as someone who has managed machine learning projects, tell us about the challenges. Like, you know, we know it's not an easy area. Like, one thing is there's a lot of development, LLMs, Perplexity, Gemini, and other tools, Amazon Q and Bedrock. There's a lot of tools. So I guess one challenge, I want to see what you're saying, but one challenge is to understand the tools and learn tools. Second challenge I see, it's probably like if more from the scientific perspective, you need to be fluent with algorithms, testing them, making sure that they are not biased and things like that. So challenges when somebody is in that world, like you, experienced person with a lot of experience, hands-on projects, what are the unique challenges you faced and how did you overcome them? If you can share that also with us.
Let me just clarify the question a bit. So are you saying actually when you're acting as a manager, we're working for the company and trying to build some ML heavy product, how do you overcome the challenges? Or if you're on the personal journey in order to learn something, and how do you solve these challenges?
No, more like a member of the enterprise, manager from that perspective.
I think, yes. Yeah, so there are, like, as you said, right, there are so many challenges. And I would say that one of the main ones is actually sometimes when you work for organizations, the stakeholders that actually want to, you know, to build something to enhance companies' metrics and things like that, sometimes they don't have very technical background, so they would love to learn and they would love to build some ML in order to improve their business, but they don't have that experience, so they understand business perfectly, but they don't know what the data, what the technology is. So the first and the most important thing is to set right expectations about ML, establish like data-driven culture, make the stakeholders aware what the AI is capable of and what mm-hmm. it is not. And mm-hmm. this is like one of the most important crucial things you need to do when just starting that, you know, building the ML culture inside your company. The second, and I don't know, maybe it's also the first, like they are also very much important points, is that to understand what user problem you're trying to solve is ML. So what, maybe even with non ML, what user problems of users you're trying to solve, what actually you want to improve, what user problems, yeah. So because ML can enhance the problem, but if you are in enhance the solution of the problem, but if you are not understanding fully what is user jobs, you can't get it right with algorithm, with ML. Also, I think it is also important to have a strong team, to have some AI experts in your company on the high level. And because sometimes I find it that companies are trying to, you know, get it fast, get it quickly, and mm-hmm. Just get maybe more junior ICs or just the beginning. And the importance of having expert in your company, especially in that field in ML, is because if they don't have much experience in ML, mm-hmm. the importance of the mistakes that they can get at the very, very beginning it can cost a lot. So for example, I'll just give you a brief example. So let's say a company says, yeah, hello, let's just, you know, make some chatbot for our
customers. Because it looks easy.
Absolutely, yeah. And they hire some, you know, someone from uni who is like maybe have like tremendous skills and have a lot of knowledge, technological and stuff. And they say, okay, yeah, let's build that. Let's build a customer support board. Everyone is doing that. And then they spend, I don't know, like 3 months, 5 months on building the huge like machine learning model in order to tackle some, you know, like some very generic case, build a chatbot especially. But what I'm saying is that maybe we didn't even need a chatbot at the beginning. Maybe we just wanted to have very, very simple machine learning model that would distinguish either the particular user request can be answered by some page in FAQ, such as the website, or we can just transfer that conversation to a customer support agent. This is absolutely different things, and the level of complexity of developing both of them differs so much that it will cost a lot of money for the company, and most importantly, the time that we will spend until we roll out that feature. And then we try to analyze the cost that will cost us this huge, I don't know, language model or like huge chatbot. And then we will spend some money in order to maintain it, serve it, computational cost and things like that. So it's really, really important that you hire someone who would oversee these projects and come up with initial solutions and would challenge the business stakeholders and challenge their passion in order to integrate some very complex and very cool AI features and kind of find the right balance. But then when so this is what I see a lot in industry. People are seeking for latest advancement, but sometimes they can benefit from something else even greatly.
Okay. Very interesting. It sounds to me like the like something that it might so look so easy to set up this chatbot or this conversational interface or hiring this model and other things, but at the same time, to make this project fully work at the comprehensive level, it requires the initial experience with that. So that's a very interesting thing. Do you think that integrating AI and machine learning into existing products or services is more like art or experimenting, like adding AI to a project? I bet that in your company, like you guys are working a lot on that. We obviously will not specifically talk about this with the respect to the technology and IP, but I want to ask you this question, like, share us some insight with us, how to integrate AI and machine learning into existing products or services without compromising quality, safety, security, and value.
That is a very interesting question. So I would say that, first of all, you need to, as I said before, you need to fully understand what problem are you trying to solve. This is the first thing. And second is cut as much as you can from that problem in order to decouple the most important and crucial bit that you really want to have AI to solve. So, for example, as I said before, right, instead of creating a chatbot, would actually want to increase the efficiency of our customer support agents. That is the main cause that we're trying to solve. So, and we already have some, let's say, infrastructure for solving this problem, right? We're already solving it. We already have this customer support. So, and first thing that we can, the first insight that I would love to share, try to solve this problem without ML for as long as you can possibly without hurting.
Interesting.
So for example, you can maybe come up with some simple business rules or heuristics. Let's say in the world of recommendations, if you have some e-commerce store, right? And you want to improve, I don't know, like your average order value or whatever you want to improve, with the help of AI, with the recommendations, so your product hypothesis would be, if I would provide personalized recommendations of items in my store, that would increase my average order volume, but I don't know, like some points of percent.
Okay.
That's something you start with. Then you say, okay, do we really need the AI? to do that? Maybe yes, but can we think of something else? And the first thing that comes to your mind, for example, you can be, okay, but maybe we can start with, we cannot start with AI. Maybe we can just, you know, show some popular items in our store, what users usually buy, and maybe that will increase our, you know, average order volume a little bit. So, and that solution doesn't require you to hire some specialist in ML, right? You can actually customize that with the current development team who are familiar with code base. You don't have to do any complex integrations, and you can quickly prototype and test this hypothesis and see if it works, because it may be not. Maybe you have a very specific business that when users have very unique interests, right, and popularity in that recommendations wouldn't serve this problem. But if it will, you'll greatly benefit, because if your order volume actually increased, that would be great, right? So, and then if you see the improvement, then you can iterate again and say what we can do else, right? Maybe we can
popular
items for every user. We can just, you know, tailor it to specific needs, see what they buy like yesterday or a few years ago, and try to come up kind of filter that solution, tailor it a bit for a particular user without having complex machine learning model. But then if it goes well as well, right, maybe we can improve it even more. And then when you start thinking about maybe we need to hire a team, maybe we need to have some AI specialist in our team. So that would be my first advice, right? So start small, actually start with the hypothesis, with the product hypothesis, define it very, very well, and then iterate it from the beginning and enhance it step by step, see the metric improvement and learn from your data what actually needs to be done, what insights can you get? Because as we all know, right, 9 out of 10 product hypothesis failing, and that's something we really need to be aware of when we are developing a feature. And if we start with developing very complex ML feature and integration, there is a very high chance that if it fails, we will have, like, you know, not that strong stakeholders' approval of our decisions, because we spend so much money and time on developing that feature. So, and next, I would maybe say that, because solving ML, having ML in your company requires additional and very crucial components on the infrastructure, right? So you need to have data to feed your machine learning models. You have to have specialists who will train these machine learning models. Then you need to have that machine learning model solve this problem and kind of, you know, provide these predictions to the whatever you have, right? Maybe it's mobile app or maybe it's website. It needs to satisfy the product requirements. It has to be fast. It has to be reliable. It has to, you need to think about the data, the privacy and stuff, gather user consent for processing the data. That's a lot of stuff that's involved on, a lot of moving bits and pieces, as well as data monitoring, your accuracy of your ML model. And then if it's like something, as we all know, machine learning, it is not a very precise instrument, right? Because sometimes machine learning models can make mistakes in their predictions. And you need to also think about that when you're developing that feature. So, that's why my advice would be just really start small and start building all that required components, iteration by iteration, step by step, and in the end you will have expertise. When you start small, you build the expertise, you understand what your users appreciate, and then
interesting. I'm listening to you, and it sounds to me like you are saying gradually develop that before you jump into ML, because jumping into the ML comes with a lot of strings attached, like specific teams, specific budgeting, for instance, specific knowledge that you need to have, but you can start without it. at the beginning, and at least you need to think about starting without it and trying to make it maybe not the latest possible, but in a reason. It mostly work on your timing, you are saying.
Yes.
It reminds me, one of the, as a consultant, I'm reading a kind of substantial number of case studies and use cases. And one of the one I liked a lot was GoPro, when they realized that one of the pains customers experience is like when you record these videos with GoPro cameras, and then you have to scroll and scroll to find these interesting moments. Well, let's say when you do that backflip on your bike, or you dive in and record that shark under the water, and just finding this highlighted moments is difficult and it takes a lot of time. So they realize that if they can help customers, users of GoPro, to get that done, and that will be a value. And they hire one person, one data science person, that just developed one feature, which was basically categorizing videos based on the content. And that gave them a foundation for stepping into machine learning. And today we can see like GoPro offering $49 per year subscription fees that actually are offering a lot of automation when it comes to video editing and highlighting moments, just powered by machine learning. So it took them years, and the company was rich. They could actually afford, I guess, they could afford more like developed and bigger team at the beginning, but they started small and gradually developed that features and making sure that machine learning is a substantial component, and there is reason behind that. So very interesting what you shared. Thank you so much, Peter. And maybe I want to now talk about technology. Like I mentioned a lot before, we have so many LLMs are right there. There's Hugging Face as a platform that you can get models working for you. You can separate them. You can even disconnect them from internet and making them working on your local machine. I want to ask you about tech stack. Like, do you think it's a time for specialization? Let's say that we have a Python person that it's like closed eyes on anything else, specialize in one technology, or we need more broad expecting, more like having a workshop or tool set combined of many different technologies, which means the tech stack is pretty wide, and then approach ML world or AI world. What would be your comment about that?
It maybe we can start with a description of what the AI roles are exist, like, data science, machine learning roles, like data, there exist, and maybe we can dive a little bit into that with respect to your question. So I would say that it really depends from company to company what are the responsibilities of particular like job role, let's say, because if you look on LinkedIn or whatever job site of your preference, there would be a lot of like job descriptions saying like we need a data scientist. But when you look from two different data science job description, sometimes it's totally different things, and they're so different that people sometimes struggle to understand, is that actually data science? Is that like maybe it's more of, I don't know, engineering? And I would love to think about data scientists following. So data scientists, let's say, it's the person who gather insights from the data. So for example, if you have data, you have some business operating, you have some technology stack around, you save data on database like purchases or streaming events or whatever, and then you want to really understand how users use your product, what are they passionate about, what do they love, what they don't like.
Okay.
And then you provide the business product managers with insights based on this data. And you, for example, let's say maybe users like more comedy on our service, or they like to buy, I don't know, like food or whatever. So practically anything. And then based on these findings, you actually can iterate and test more hypotheses and improve your product. So for that role, for data science role, people who work on like data analysis, I think there is like one golden standard, which is like SQL. So how to segregate, how operate it well, this is most important thing, and that job requires knowledge it very well. Of course, there are existing many different tools, right? So there are many di different dialects of SQL, but if you get this idea, if you learn this language, if you understand what this tool is about, you can actually narrow down to any particular dialect of that language and can be as as efficient as you can possibly be. And of course there are other tools like Python, like with like wonderful libraries like Pandas or Polars that actually follow pretty much the same approach to working with data. So how do you actually enrich the user's data with other kind of events? How do they walk through the website? How do they browse in order to gather more insights? So the principles stay the same. So in that, you need to have like broad experience, just have basic principles. Also, when you have some like there are some data science, as I said, and there are like machine learning engineer roles, sort of, right? And that I would like to divide into two main streams. One, machine learning engineer is the actually the person who like gets this like product hypothesis, as said, right? And then they build machine learning model, they gather data, they feed this machine learning model, they making sure this model does the right job for actually understanding user preferences or predicting fraud or whatever we want this model to do. And then they ship it to the production and make sure that this is available for consumers, for example, the customer facing app or other components in our business system. And make sure that this model works reliable, fast enough, things like that, right? So for that experience, for that particular role, it's also it is important to know particular languages that are fast enough, that are maybe know some technological stack like AWS, Google Cloud, or DigitalOcean, or whatever it is your company operating with. Right, maybe some Go because it's recently getting more and more popular. Python to train machine learning models, right? Because this ecosystem is so rich. Docker, Kubernetes, all this technological stuff, it's very important to know in order to serve these machine learning models right. It's also important to know math and know theory, right, in order to implement machine learning models. But when you work for business, for fast-paced business environment, you don't really need to have latest advancement, the most possibly accurate machine learning models, because sometimes they are so complex that it would ages for them to actually make the decision, predict something, and for kind of consumer-facing apps, sometimes this is actually not suitable, right? So sometimes you really optimize the speed of performance or some other things, but you actually face towards shipping fast machine learning models. Another thing is like researcher, machine learning scientist, let's say. So for these guys, it's very important to stay up to date with the latest scientific, latest publications, latest, I don't know, iterations of GPT and whatever large language models are there. So they're not actually like, let's say, they are not actually like maybe serving these models in production, but they actually come up with certain architecture, mathematical algorithms, formulas in order to actually find the best possible solution to solve the particular problem, for example, image recognition or classification for images or for text understanding, whatever that is. They not necessarily serve these models in production, but their main idea is to actually know the background, the theory, the math behind all these machine learning algorithms in order to understand these publications, right? These science papers. And then implement it or maybe come up with their own solution for solving that particular problem. So for that, theory is the most important bit because actually when it comes to math, it's very much theoretical, right? So if you know the math, you can actually teach yourself very, very quickly to frameworks in, for example, in Python, like PyTorch or TensorFlow or JAX in order to implement that formulas. But the formulas, the algorithms, this is the models, right? Model architectures. That's what actually crucial there, right? So to sum up, yeah. So for some roles, it's very important to know technology. For some roles, it's very important to know theory. And for some roles, it's very important to know like the tools,
the tools.
Mindset. Yeah.
Well, I assume, like, you're speaking from your experience, obviously, it sounds to me like one of the challenges, it's having the perfect blend of these talents and people, and it depends on the mission of the company or goals. And that's very fascinating because also from the perspective that to build a sustainable team, we already talk about that you need to make sure that you need ML and you need data science. But in the case you need that, that's actually something more like a blend of talents, tools, and experience than like a silver bullet rule that can be applied like, you know, size fits all. So pretty interesting comment. I want to add something on that from my perspective that sometimes companies are lost, like they're thinking about like, hey, who we should hire or how we should start. And maybe we should hire an external company to do that for us because they have a pretty wide tech stack. But what you're saying also, that blend of tools and talents and experience, I believe can evolve over time, right? Depends on the product, on the project. Not efficiency, but like maturity or what I want to say, like if you want to build a new features, new products, then your talent stack and your tech stack might also change. I believe so.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. So as we all know, right, life goes on, products evolve. We have shift maybe in our user base or maybe companies pivoting to something else. And so many factors in our daily life are like changing. So in order to be sustainable, in order to be successful in that, I think it's very important to actually evolve your team as well to solve the company's problems. And and maybe even from the beginning when the company is just starting that, getting into that field, into machine learning, maybe sometimes it is very, very useful in order to quickly test the hypothesis. Actually, as you said, maybe even not hire a team, but actually buy a product that actually solves your problem. As
yeah.
I said, maybe again, like chatbot support, right? There are so many services that leverage and take that hard job from you to in order to host these language models or like call the APIs or do whatever like they do. And you can just actually buy that. Your time for developing that, hiring a team, managing it, you actually can buy it. Maybe it will cost you at the beginning a little more, but if it doesn't work for you, you can just cancel the subscription or you just like stop using that product and then you can come up with different...
And release that cost. You don't have to...
Absolutely.
Sorry interrupting you. But what are you talking about? So about the cost flexibility.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So from the beginning, if you want to test the hypothesis, just use the fastest available tool, right? Just buy the tool, try it out, integrate it, see if it works. If it doesn't, you can just, release the cost. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. I really find that fascinating. Peter, I want to ask you this. How you stayed up to date? You know, you have a comprehensive knowledge. You work for a company that it's a prominent one. And it's a company that has a journey done. And then you are a person that works in a senior position. How you stay up to date, whatever that means, tools, knowledge, trends, future, whatever is that, give us a little bit of the insight, how you stay up to date so people here, product managers, CDOs, CIOs, can also get inspired from you because I guess you're also a busy person.
Yeah, that's, we're all busy persons, I believe. So I think I have a few sources where I get the information from, like about that field.
Uh-huh.
I would say first one is actually the news.
Okay.
So, yeah. So this is like something I find it, you know, just to see what is like major audience is concerned about, like. Because you can't miss it, right? OpenAI releases the large language model that's like, I also find sometimes the latest releases from there, that's like the news. That's so simple, mm-hmm. but sometimes it works. So even like in the app that I read, you can just customize, right? So what topics do you like to cover? Sometimes you say, I'm interested in technology, and pretty much a lot of the technological yeah. agenda in that like
yeah.
feed, it's AI now because it's the most advancing technology right now. But also when I want to learn like latest advancements actually in science, what's going on in terms of like the algorithm and stuff, I find it very useful to read the kind of resource called Archive. So it's where the science people, like researchers, are published their latest research papers, and you can actually
papers
for free. Yeah, papers. Like, to be honest, I don't read the entire papers because I would just, you know, I don't have time for that. But they just scan through the abstracts of the science papers, and you can just get the idea what the approach working, what is not. Maybe sometimes there are summaries of the latest approaches and advancement in the field where the science kind of engineers, you know, analyzed and came up with the idea. But I don't think it might be relatively, you know, interesting for particular, like for managers, but maybe just for mm-hmm. someone who really get into the field and want to learn the cutting edge technology, that may be a good way to go. What I find actually the most useful for the for working with ML products and projects, I just subscribe to the relevant persons in Twitter/X and on LinkedIn.
Okay.
So, for example, I just follow some guys from who works on OpenAI, who works in Microsoft, Meta, Netflix. There are some very important figures like Yann LeCun. Sometimes he publishes his latest research papers, announcements, where they integrated the stuff, or like latest Llama, right? So mm-hmm. that's actually, I found the most useful for me. You can just see what product people are integrating, what works, what doesn't. And mm-hmm. last but not least, also, there are so many conferences, even online, devoted to ML, devoted to ML in products, devoted more technical, more business oriented, ML in e-commerce, data science for like whatever. You can actually find for like almost for any domain, there is a conference that touches that domain in terms of how do we work with ML and AI in that field. So sometimes mm-hmm. they cost some money, but sometimes they are for free. You can actually scan through it and you actually get very, very good understanding what the industry is up to. So I would mm-hmm. recommend like latest two approaches for CEOs, for product managers who starting, who like continue, want to continue learning that.
Yeah, very interesting. I want to share also my personal view that absolutely I leverage a lot of content curation because we were started with news and you can't miss news, but on the other side you have a lot of them in your pocket. So I cannot agree more with you about like curating those information and making sure they are okay. I'm using different products for this too, but I also learned from you a lot about this, how you digest the scientific papers. I sometimes look at them too, and obviously not read them from end to end, not only from the time constraints, but also some of them are pretty complicated. And to narrow them down and understand them, you need, at least from my perspective, I need a couple other folks to help me to crack them down because they are not so obvious when you read them, and you definitely cannot read them as a newspaper. So very interesting view. And Peter, like, since we almost going to the end of that, and I've really enjoyed this conversation, what advice? I mean, there are guys that are stepping into AI, not only because they are starting their careers, but also they're setting up companies. I know in the audience of this podcast, we have startup founders, venture capitalists as well. Can you share some advice to AI engineers, data science people, machine learning engineers, researchers who are just starting their careers? What would be your advice professional advice if they ask you, hey, Peter, tell us like what we should do, how we should develop skills and make sure that we self-growing?
I would definitely like so broad audience. So
yeah, I know. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no worries. No worries. So I think I'll try the one of the most important advice I would say is just don't be afraid and find what you are patient in the most in that, and don't like go fast and break things. Try to experiment mm-hmm. as much as you can. Try to be as hands-on, if we talk about hands-on role, as possible. And maybe what I found also very fascinating for myself, I have a few pet projects. And when you're actually trying to solve some pet project, that's like the idea that you're passionate about, right? So once I was like actually really want to learn how you can rank the news that they have, in order to, you know, for myself, mm-hmm. build a machine learning model that I can rank and use for myself, I spent one of the most enjoyable time, I think, in my career trying to figure that out, figure out all the mm-hmm. pieces and be the user of your product as well, sort of, right? So, and you can learn so much while you're doing your pet project, technology, mm-hmm. how to think about how to solve the problem. This is like I think also very important, and as well I can think even CEOs or like management folks can also benefit from that advice. Actually, have the little pet project and start thinking about how would I integrate AI and machine learning into mm-hmm. the product that I care about if I want to develop. Maybe even not like have a like actually build something, but think it through. What maybe data I would need to have in order to solve this problem, mm-hmm. what the problem is. So pet projects are like super crucial, and I find it very much useful in order to learn kind of advance in the career or actually to start. And for maybe for technical practitioners, I would also say, I would also recommend maybe to actually go top-down approach as well. Try to think it through again. Try to think what you would love to do in 3-5 years. What would you like? What mm-hmm. you would enjoy, and then like go online and find all the like courses maybe that are actually can teach you do that, and see if it goes good. So yeah, and don't try to overcomplicate things, because in AI and machine learning, it's definitely a very complicated field, and you can lose yourself, like get lost into that.
So, yeah.
And if you have this guidance, right, where you want to be, what are you passionate about, you can actually, you know, some sort of triage that. Does it feel good? Does it feel right? And don't be afraid. And don't be afraid also to share this, what you've built, right? So if you build some model, host in Hugging Face, so see folks, yeah, I built something. Go and check it out. What do you think? And you can get so much feedback, even like from the people you don't know, that can help you say, oh, it doesn't work. You're like, why? You know, engaging this conversation, then you learn something new and you improve. I think mm-hmm. that is just maybe not very precise answer, but I think it is very important to have that like positive sort of thinking into the going into field. Because that will help you through the very complexities, algorithm, like mathematical theory, complexity mm-hmm. of measuring the business value of the ML products that you develop, right? If we're talking about ML product managers. Yeah, and don't be afraid about that you don't know something. You have no idea how ML works when you're a product mm-hmm. manager, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just start it. Just try to do it, like even the simplest thing. And then you will realize that there is no much stuff and technological background you need to have in order to manage successful ML products to a certain extent, of mm-hmm. course, but we're talking in general, mm-hmm. let's say.
Mm-hmm. There is an interesting book. It's on my want to read list called Move Fast and Fix Things. The reason I'm mentioning that is not like to give another like, you know, old-fashioned quote here, but I can recall a couple projects that would fit in your description that were actually starting with something small. One of them is developed by a company, Future Processing, and they are doing annual charity donations, and they always ask customers which charity this year we should donate to. And the customers can vote and things like that. And before Gen AI era, it was done through like classical surveys sent to then send out and getting answers. But this year they use GPT-4 Turbo and they developed a chat on the website. So the chat was is about to help to make a decision, because if you're a customer and you don't know the specific charity, you want to see a charity reputation and things like that. So instead of scrolling and reading about that or getting newsletters, you can start asking questions on the chat, and it will help you to learn more about charities, narrow down your options, decide how much money you want to put on the table, and things like that. And it was started as a science project by junior people that barely had the experience with AI and chatbots. And eventually it grew up as a chatbot that is frequently visited by people, and it's open on a website. Everybody can work with that chatbot to make sure that they make a decision about charity they like. So I definitely can recall that from my perspective as a consultant, that those things can start very early, very little, at the very junior level, and gradually growing and growing, and getting like experience to everybody. So thanks for recalling that.
Yeah, absolutely. I also believe in that. Yeah.
I like that. Okay, last question, Peter. I know we have a limited time, and I don't want to keep you here longer than we agreed. Future. I want to ask you one thing about the future. How do you see the role of AI, machine learning, Gen AI evolving in the future? Can you share your observations, maybe predictions, like when are we going with this? I don't want to sound here like asking for, oh, what is a danger? What is the AI for good? I just want to ask you for like your opinion and predictions as a professionalist. Like, what do you think about where are we heading with all these AI powered solutions?
Yeah, so that's something I think a lot about, and I came
Yeah.
up with the following thing. So first of all, for some reason, I'm not scared about the development of AI, even with latest advancement of ChatGPT-4, when you can just actually, you like, why is it? Is it like alive? Is it like actually generating pretty good stuff sometimes, right? So just fascinating, like what it can is it capable of. But what I think where we're heading to is that AI, all that field, is actually new level of tools that we're developing, that people use in order to be more efficient, faster in their work, do more in less amount of time. So as we said before, right, the computers, like 50 years ago, it was just, huge machines that occupy a few floors, and you would just practically in like, just program some very, very simple calculation in it. And yeah, it significantly improved people's life back then. Now we have like more personal computers, right, where you can write very low level code, and it's also step up a bit, right? So we started to interact with computers on the higher level interface. Next came up with like programming languages like Java, C++, which actually also brought us a bit of abstraction over the computers, over the actual hardware that is there available. And with more time coming, I also think about the AI is sort of the tool for humans to actually do more rather than replace someone. So I don't think we need to replace someone. We actually need to give that AI tools to people, and then they can do much, much, much more in much in less amount of times, right? So this is one thing I can think about. Even like they say sometimes, oh, They're gonna replace doctors with AI. Oh, the AI will like make
yes.
decisions who to give them. Yeah, and my mom is a doctor, so she's like, oh my God, I'm a bit scared about it. Like, where it's gonna go? AI is gonna like, you know, conquer the world. I'm saying, listen, like, if you would have like the tool that gives you, like, you know, go through back the time, analyze the entire like patient, you know, like history, like any disease, have the internet amount of information, and then just give you a few suggestions somewhere in the middle of the screen, right? And you can discard it and you can make your own judgment. Yeah, judgment is back to the human. But you can leverage that and learn that tool in order to enhance your like experience and decision making, this is a very, very good thing. And even speaking about like less general stuff, where we're heading to, I think we're going into the hyper personalization, and I personally believe in that concept, because it is just we will understand more use cases of particular people for particular services and provide a new level of experience. I will speak maybe from the e-commerce perspective, or like if you are going to Amazon sometimes, or like whatever website that you go to buy things. Sometimes you want to buy a bicycle, right? And you don't want to continue buying bicycles all over, but you just need to spend some time actually analyze what are the options and kind of compare things, thinking through for a few days, sleep with it, come back, and then buy the best one for yourself. This is one scenario, right? But then next day you come and you just really want to, I don't know, buy a pair of socks, like maybe not a pair, but just, you know, like a few or whatever it is. And it's a completely different scenario. Or you're buying a groceries for yourself from the same website. And they are like the user like journey on the service and user's expectation from the service are so different. We studied that with like user research group in my previous company. It was like tremendous how different people are trying to solve the different problems. So I believe companies will more and more leverage AI in order to understand user intent as fast as possible and adopt the services and tailor it to particular user need in the particular time for the particular scenario. So that will unlock us even new, like in more capabilities to kind of, you know, be faster, be more efficient, more satisfaction, more time for doing something else rather than going in grocery store and, you know, spend a few hours buying stuff for a week. It will transform. And I believe this like hyper personalization on every service that we have around us, this is a future, and it's very kind of, you know, not far away from us. So
interesting. I really like what you said, and really congratulations to your mom for being a doctor. I know it's not an easy job, and I'd actually recall my dentist appointment I had yesterday that I was asked by a dentist. I switched a dentist and I went to a new place, and she asked me what I'm doing. I said, I'm the consultant. And she said, what are you specializing in? I said artificial intelligence and machine learning. She said, wow, this is a scary subject. I said, why, ma'am? And she said, like, you know, because it's eventually going to replace us. And I was like, oh my goodness. So sometimes, I'm sorry for guys for a subjective opinion, but sometimes news are doing a bad job, and people are like kind of like twisted in it. But Peter, I enjoyed that conversation a lot, guys. There were Peter Gusev, senior machine learning engineer, with a lot of insight, with a lot of practical advice about AI ML. connecting with us from London, United Kingdom, when he is a team member of Deliveroo, one of the prominent companies in food deliveries and logistics, by the way, space, because what is a food delivery? It's last mile logistics, a lot of problems there and challenges to solve. Peter, thank you so much. I really, really appreciate that conversation. Thank you so much for joining us. And I really want to wish you luck in your professional career development, but mostly in like bringing really solid use cases to a production when our life can be easier because of hard work of teams like you manage and the work like you've done. Thank you so much, Peter, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Arik. Thanks for having me. It was a tremendous experience. I really also enjoyed the conversation with you. Hopefully, it will, someone will find it very useful for them. And yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. I have no doubts people will really squeeze out a lot of from this one. Thank you, Peter. We wish you luck. And thank you so much. And guys, thank you for being with us. This is Artificial Intelligence Product Strategy Podcast. If you guys like it, please consider subscribing. If you think we can do better, obviously share a feedback with us. And also, if you have questions, I know that we are in great conversation with Peter, and if you have a question, shoot them to us. I will be asking Peter for a couple of minutes answering them, and they will be either recorded here again in the next podcast with answers, or we can put them on our blog. Thank you so much, guys. Have a wonderful day wherever you are. Have a good night, have a good morning, and have a good afternoon wherever you connected with us from.